Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and together I am thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. In this episode, we are jumping right in, and I am joined by George Lutz of Honor and Remember, an organization that, in their name, as you see, honors and remembers those who have made that ultimate sacrifice and have died in the line of military duty for the United States, and all of the great things that this organization is doing and focusing, especially in our time, on this event that actually happened last weekend, the Run for the Fallen that our own Hampton Roads Team Red, White, and Blue participated in and did. If you want some pictures and awesome stuff from that, check it out on social media. But George and I talk about Honor and Remember, talk about Run for the Fallen, and all of these amazing things. So let's dive into this conversation. George, welcome in. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you and your audience and have this opportunity to talk about what we do.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of our listeners are going to feel really connected to this, especially those who are in the Hampton Roads area and are connected via their relationship to military people and just knowing a lot of these folks, being able to connect with organizations like Honor and Remember and activities like the runs that you put on or other events that you have to be able to support this organization. But before we dive too deep, I'd love to ask the question where I always start our conversation. George, what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
Yeah. That's not a short answer. My community started with, you know, loss of my son in Iraq in 2005. And basically out of that loss and out of that process of grieving is where I started pitching my tent, right? Because what happens is you tend to glom onto like-minded individuals, right? And you try to find a healing salve that will help mitigate these feelings that you have, this loss, this tremendous loss that, you know, no parent should ever navigate. And so back in 05, as I started broadening my reach to reaching out to other families, right? Gold Star families whose loved ones had given all for this country. And, you know, as a process of reaching the local families, especially in the Hampton Roads area, because this is where I live, and there had been a lot of military casualties in this area, right? I met a few people, then more people, then dozens of people. And, you know, over the years now, thousands of families who have given their loved ones. And that started my community, you know, if you will. And my hope was that I would bring in knowing these individuals and be able to get close to them, bringing some piece of healing, some comfort. And them knowing that they weren't alone, that they also could interact with somebody who was feeling the same way, was going through those same motions. And then, of course, from there, expanding that to the veteran community, because it's not just Gold Star families. It's now men and women who have lost their buddies, those who they've served with, and now being able to offer them a way to give back when they don't know what to do. To be able to remember in a way that they didn't have before. This community begins to expand and expand. As you're having these interactions with individuals, you tend to then find out what is their sweet spot? What do they gravitate toward? What kinds of things do they love to do? And that brought me into the running community. Very long story, telling it short, but then bringing it into the running community and having a venue or an opportunity to where there is a way to give back, to honor in a certain way, not only for your own self, but for the families that you know are hurting, right? That are in that pain. And so over these number of years, you know, I've built the opportunity for a community which literally encompasses or could encompass every American, every citizen in this nation.
And you talk about it. You know, as I looked at your website and looked at a lot of the information behind Honor and Remember, you talk about it as being this almost larger than life organization extending to practically everybody. You know, my mind thinks about the USAA commercials where USAA is something that's available to military and their families. And so it's a question when you see a USAA member, it's like, oh, who did you or did your family serve? And, you know, I often say, you know, we get USAA because my dad served in the military. And so it's little things like that, that at the end of the day, almost everybody qualifies for it because everybody has either, you know, has family that's been in the military or even friends that have been in the military. And so as this organization has begun to mold and establish itself, and I say establish, but it's also something that's almost 20 years old at this point in time. But as it continues to grow and as it continues to establish, what are the connections that you're making with a lot of these people that you're going out and you're connecting with the Gold Star families, you're connecting with the veterans, you're connecting with the active duty service people? You know, what are the connections that you're making as you and Honor and Remember are going out and connecting with these people?
One of the things that everybody realizes, let me tell it to you this way, you know, anecdotally. When my son, Tony, came to me and said, hey, Dad, I joined the Army. One of the first things I said to him immediately, now he was already married. He had a child. He had his own life, right? He wasn't living at home. And so he came to me and said, Dad, I joined the Army. And the first thing I said to him was, son, are you crazy? I said, there's a war going on and you could get hurt. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, the women and children of Iraq need my help. I think I've got a unique skill set. I think I can make a difference. I think this is what I need to do. And so as a dad, all I could say to him was, I'm proud of you. I love you. Keep your head down, right? So I will tell you that every parent in America would have that same reaction, right? Every parent does not want their son or daughter to die for their country. I haven't met one yet who has said, you know what? I'm willing to give up my kid. No, but men and women are dying for this country so that your kids don't have to. The very least that you should do is be appreciative. That's the very least. If your neighbor, if you know a neighbor who gave, you know, his son or a spouse, right? You knew them, you would be appreciative, right? You would recognize that. And I think that what we have done by creating the Honor Remember flag and giving America an opportunity to be thankful visually, be thankful, is we're giving an opportunity that nobody had before. They have a way of being appreciative of sacrifice when they might not even know somebody who gave their life. I mean, very few of us know someone who has lost someone because we have a big population. But I think it's in the mindset of all of us that if we did, we would want to say thank you. We would want to do something, even in the simplest form. And I think that what we have done with all of what you mentioned, with meeting the Gold Star families, with partnering with the veterans, I think it comes down to the everyday citizen, the typical American who doesn't understand it, who doesn't get it, who isn't connected to it. And I'm sure you've heard the statistic that there's only 2% that are serving or less than 1%. I mean, there's variations in that, but it's less than 2% are in the military. And if you add all of the veterans that ever served that are still living and you combine everybody into one pot, it would still be less than 10%. So you're talking about 90% of the country who don't have a military connection, who don't really understand, who go about their business not wanting to be bothered, but yet that 10% has literally served this country and given us the freedoms that we enjoy every day. So my contention has been all along, the very least that we can do is say thank you. But how do we do that? There's never been a way that I know of that we could all universally come together and say the same message until the Honor and Remember flag was created. It became a way we could all send this iconic symbol of appreciation Can you imagine if it's on every flagpole in your neighborhood and one of your neighbors lost someone, or somebody who drove through that neighbor who lost a friend would see the outpouring of appreciation that is coming, where you might not even know who drives past your home or your business or your church. So this is what we have done, I believe, is given an opportunity for all of us to connect the dots and say thank you, whether you want to or not, that's up to you. But if I give you a way to send that message and you take it, think of the power of what that message sends.
And again, there's so much to be said in the reminder of everything that goes into what we experience in our everyday lives. And for us to be able to look and to view those who serve in our military, who offer that support to this country, for us to be able to do these things. And even sometimes when we look at the military and we see them, whether it's on TV and things like that, we can know and understand the sacrifice that's being made. But even more so, I think of when we watch the news and we see maybe, you know, there was an incident or there was a battle or something, and we see the faces of those whom we've lost.
Right.
And to think of the manner of thanksgiving that we give, because, you know, when you look at the military, we don't live in a country that has a draft. You know, these people aren't being forced to serve. These people aren't being enlisted, even though they don't want to. These are people who definitely are volunteering. And I say volunteering as they're offering themselves to that and then going into military service and serving this country to try and, in some way, shape or form, make this world, make this country a better place. So to just have that come to the forefront and us to be able to think about what are those ways that we're showing, that we're honoring and remembering the service, the sacrifice that goes into being a military member, and then the sacrifice in sometimes them passing away. But even more so, I think of the families that also become impacted. As a pastor, my mind immediately goes to families who have lost their loved ones, you know, you losing your son and the grief that surrounds that. And for this community to be able to come in and say, we want to honor the sacrifice that your child or your spouse or your parent has made in order for us to be able to have this connection.
Yeah.
And so out of honor and remember comes so many opportunities to support it. And friends, if those of you who are listening, if you go to Honor and Remember site, I'm going to have it linked in the show notes. Yeah, you'll see several ways that you can support it. But one of the things that caught my attention, you know, both Jake Jacobs and John Hartzell have participated in this in the past and are participating in it this year again. And one of the reasons that we wanted to get George on was this Run for the Fallen that you guys do. And when Jake and them reached out to me, I thought it was just some not crazy thing, but I just thought it was something that happened here in Virginia. But coming and doing my research and everything, I see, you know, you guys are doing it in 26 states and you're running all of these miles for our fallen servicemen and women. George, before I dive too deep into that, can you tell us first, like, what is this Run for the Fallen and where did it come from? Because it didn't start. It doesn't look like it started in 2005. The idea may have begun to percolate, but what is Run for the Fallen and where did this idea come from?
Yeah, sure. Sure. Well, what happened was when we launched the Honor Remember flag in 2008, about 2 weeks after that on Flag Day, there was a gentleman, a college student, who had lost his college roommate also that year as Tony. And so he wanted to do something. He was a cross-country runner, and he wanted to do something that would honor his brother, if you will, and give homage to the, you know, to his service and sacrifice. So he decided that he was going to run across the country from California to Arlington Cemetery, and he was going to stop and call out the name of each service member who had died up until 2005 from the We're on Tour. And so at that time, there was 3,800 names that were battle casualties during that time. So he ran 3,800 miles across the country, stopping every mile to call out a name out loud, including his buddy. So while he was doing that run, we were launching Honor and Remember and our initiative of getting this flag recognized across the country. And so I called him up. His name was John Bologna. And we had a conversation, and he actually carried the Honor Remember flag during that inaugural run that he was doing in 08. And so that was it, one and done. He ran across the country. That's what he wanted to do. And he carried on in, you know, with his life. He crabbed at the Run for the Fallen. A few years later, I felt that we needed to have a Run for the Fallen in Virginia, because Virginia was, Arlington Cemetery was in Virginia. And I felt that we needed to have this run in Virginia. So in 2012, I called John up and I said, John, we want to do a Run for the Fallen and call it Virginia Run for the Fallen. You know, can we have permission to do that? This was in 2012. And he said, oh, absolutely. I'm not doing these, you know, anymore. And so I took it a step further and I said, John, I would really like to be able to do these runs all over the country, because I want to make sure that these heroes' names are called out loud every single year without fail on a continuous basis. And so he said, no, absolutely. And so Honor and Remember took over the Run for the Fallen concept, and it became our goal to make sure that every single fallen service member in every state would be called out loud. And so this is where it all began in 2012 in Virginia, and then Indiana, and then New York, and Kentucky, and Alabama, and, you know, on and on. New England, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. So we decided that if we were going to call out loud the names of the heroes in one state, why would we leave out the names of the heroes in other states? And so we haven't been able to build runs fast enough to keep up with what we need to do, because it takes a lot of bandwidth, right? And volunteers to make a run happen. But in 2018, we decided that on the 10th anniversary of Honor and Remember, we were going to actually duplicate that run across America. So in 2018, we organized a 19-state run over 5,000 miles and called out the names of over 20,000 service members. And we did that over the course of 5 months. We actually hit the road in California. We ran and ran and ran 50 miles a day, you know, for 121 days and ended in Arlington Cemetery. And that ended up giving us a lot more exposure. We ended up with 3 more state runs that we were able to add to our stable. And we just continue. So what we've done is we've given an opportunity for core runners. These are not fun runs, you know, individual, but these are core runners who are, I would say, marathon runners that can keep at pace between 8 and 9 minutes and then do a relay style run for 3 or 4 days, do almost a half marathon a day, you know, during that time. And we follow the same model. We stop every mile, we call out one or more heroes' names. We stop another mile, we call out one or more heroes' names. We invite the families to come out. This is a part of our healing, right? And comfort. We'll let these families know we haven't let their loved ones be forgotten. And then we do this marker after marker, you know, from beginning to end. And we do that in every state. Plus, we live stream it, so that anybody can be a part of that and listen to us call those names out if they can't be there in person. So this is kind of the framework of Run for the Fallen and what we've been doing for, you know, over a decade now. And that's a part of that community that so many can people be involved with. And they don't have to be even a runner, right? They could be on the side of the road at a marker waiting for us to come and listen to those heroes' names with the families, or if families can't be there, to stand in for those heroes. There's so many important ways to volunteer and become involved.
Yeah, and it seems like gathering these communities together, and, you know, we talked about Jake and John, who are a part of Team Red, White, and Blue down here in Hampton Roads. Yeah. And these sorts of people gathering together in order to run these miles. And like you and I were talking before, it's a way that we've taken, for many of us, something that we love to do, running, simple as just propelling yourself forward and running, and combining that with an opportunity to honor those who have fallen, who have served, who have given the sacrifice to this country and to the world, and then being able to acknowledge them in this way, while also maybe offering a layer of comfort to grieving families who have experienced this loss. As you've done this, you talk about just the gathering and collecting of all of these different states. What is maybe the response from the running community? You're going into these communities, you're running from a point A to point B, and you're doing a lot of this work, you're collecting runners together. What is the response that you have from them? I don't know if you're running the miles with them or not. No, but you're definitely interacting with a lot of runners, and they're using this talent to give back to the not even just their local community. I mean, for Hampton Roads folks, they're giving back to local Hampton Roads because it's such a big military community, but even just so to the country and everything. And so what is your interaction? What are you hearing from these runners as they're going on these runs, as they're logging these miles, as they're shouting names?
It's really a tremendous privilege, I would think, for most of these runners. And I will tell you that it's not just a matter of putting your feet to the ground, right, and getting from one marker to the next. The emotional toil that brings and the reward of that, I can't even put into words. I mean, these runners, I have been coming back year after year, right, to do this, because I've been told that no matter what run they've done, no matter how many miles that they've taken on in any other event, that this Run for the Fallen has been one of the most rewarding things they've ever done in their life. Because I will tell you that when you run up to a marker and you stop and you see a family standing there with a rose on the side of the road or an honor remember flag with their loved one's name on it, and you stop and you come to attention and you hear those names called out loud and the emotion that it brings these families, it rocks you. I can tell you that is one of the most explosive moments of anyone's life. It's very, very difficult. But yet, year after year, the runners that have been a part of this have wanted to come back. And if they're not, you know, out... And we're at military, former military, and we have civilians, right? We're all running. Mm-hmm. But I have runners that are going to other states and following the runs because they can't get enough of it, right? Yeah. And we've got runners that want to do more. And if they can't run, that they're volunteering to do something else, you know, because maybe they're aging out and they can't keep up that pace anymore, or maybe they're injured, but they still want to be a part of it and participate. So you're getting a number of different avenues of explanation, right, of why people are getting involved and how meaningful it is to him or her. And you've got to also remember that the community isn't just of the runners themselves. You have got the families. You've got the volunteers that aren't running. You've got the runners. You've got the law enforcement who are escorting us through each of these communities. You have the community themselves, the towns that we're running through, that are all being affected by this. And they're coming out from their businesses and from their homes and standing on the street going, what's going on here? You know, and being affected by this. It's a tremendous gathering of so many that we're affecting and touching. We run through three military bases as we're running, you know, to Arlington Cemetery. So there are so many people that are touched, and not to mention all the traffic we're backing up and all of the people that are getting to see and visually follow what we're doing as well. And then the live stream, you know, how many thousands of people are able to see that live stream and be touched, right, by what we're doing, who may or may not be military, who may or may not be Gold Star families. But as we build a community, the local community, and then the next state that's coming up knows that we did this last month or last week. And so now they're watching. And then that group is following to the next run that's being live streamed. We've got this entire group that's actually participating with us. And they have an opportunity to donate. They have an opportunity to fly a flag themselves and help send that message. Or they have that opportunity to come and be a part of it.
And, you know, for those of you who are listening, when this comes out, the Virginia Run for the Fallen will have already happened. But there's still so many, like you say, there's still so many other runs. There's opportunities for people to get involved, whether they do want to participate in a run for the fallen or even just acknowledge the heroes and those who have served. I see on Virginia's site, they have a list of all the heroes that they're acknowledging. And so for these communities to be able to lift up these people to remind us. And when we look at the runners, do the runners know the stories behind the heroes that they're shouting out?
Sometimes, but we're running for over 800 heroes in Virginia this
year. Yeah.
So it's very difficult, but sometimes we'll talk about those stories or someone might know someone, but there's that opportunity to look them up, to take that name and research on there. One of the things that I didn't talk about, and this may be very relevant to your community, is that we created something called the May Memorial Marathon. And when this comes out, this will still be an option, but we created a 30-minute opportunity time slot for anybody who runs, walks, you know, Zumbas, rides a bicycle or whatever, to take a calendar slot. It is our hope that every single time slot, 4 hours a day, 7 days a week for 31 days, will be covered from day one to day 31 in May, so that every day somebody is running for a hero. And it might not be somebody they know, or it might be just our fallen in general, but you mentioned that you could go to our list in Virginia. Every state run has that list, and you can look at every single fallen hero from every state we're running in and pick a slot. If you run an hour every day or once a week in May, put your name on that slot and run it for a fallen hero. I encourage everybody listening to go, if you do any kind of physical activity, especially running, go out, pick a time slot, and take that moment for the month of May, and make that make it a reality for us to follow, to fill up every single slot. That would be really meaningful for us.
And a lot of it is, you know, bringing awareness. Again, it's not like there's any lack of understanding that people serve or enlist or go into the military. And it's not even that there's a lack of understanding that people, when they enter the military, sometimes people don't come home. But there's one of these just holy and ritualistic things of remembering people.
Right.
Remembering people, right? You know, and to remember those who haven't come back or have fallen in some way, shape, or form, and to keep those people at the top of our minds, and even beyond those who have fallen, but even when we talk about just all of our veterans and just remembering these people and all the things that they've done for this country, for this world, and all of those things, to then, because of how much, and we talked about it in my episode with Jake, of this connection that Team RWB tries to make with bringing retired military folks and saying, just because your military career is over doesn't mean your active lifestyle has to go with it.
Right.
And saying there's still ways that you can be active. There's things that you can do. And I even think about how we as a running community are connecting with those groups of people, especially where I live in Hampton Roads, which is one of the largest, you know, military bases in the world. Yeah. Just because of everything that happens here. And so the military is right in front of us, and we're interacting with military people every day. We're interacting with military families who have lost loved ones. We're interacting with friends who have lost friends. We're interacting with people who are deployed. And in that, especially in our global situation, there's uncertainty as to what's going to happen sometimes.
Right.
And to really remember who these people are and the role that they play, and for runners to be able to come in and offer that opportunity and to connect with organizations like Honor and Remember, and for you to connect with runners, because I think it's reciprocal in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so I look at the Virginia run because it's the one that's closest to us, or the one that's closest to me. But to see after that run in Virginia, it moves on to the next state and then moves on to the next state. And so you talk about this unbroken chain of sort of remembrance,
right?
And then offering that opportunity for other people to get involved as well, because for a lot of folks, the Run for the Fallen may not be a thing that they may be able to do, but the May Memorial Marathon might be something that we can participate in. And even if it's not someone that we know, I might encourage folks, you know, maybe look at one of those names on the list. I think it was Memorial Day when I used to live in Richmond. Our run team leader would often encourage us to like find a military service member who died in combat or died in service, and then read up on them and then print them. And we would often like carry them in just like a sack with us, so that it was like we were actually carrying them with us. And we could remember that service member's story. And so as you think about all of this stuff that has been a part of Honor and Remember, when it started with the flags and a way to just let folks who are experiencing these tragedies in their communities and in their families, to something like the Run for the Fallen, to the May Memorial Marathon, to giving the flags away, and all of these other things. As you look at this, as someone who's not a runner yourself, what is your hope for your continued connection with the running community? How do you see the running community continue to play a role in helping in the mission and the vision of Honor and Remember?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think one of the things that we are doing is continue to bring more and more runners in from the community. We have actually looked at expanding some things. The May Memorial Marathon is one thing that everybody could get involved with during May, but we're also looking at 5Ks, you know, where we don't have to have, you know, these 8-9 minute marathon runners. We can have people just coming together and having a regular, normal weekend 5K. And this is one of the things that my son, he was a cross-country runner ever since he was 11 years old. He ran his first 5K when he was 11 years old, and he never stopped running until the day he died. So he was a consummate runner. And many of your runners, who knows, maybe they've aged out now, but you would have been only 45 now. So some of you may have run with him, you know, at some point, you know, in the Hampton Roads area, because that was something he was always a part of. And so looking at a 5K model where we could get more people participating, you know, is really important to us, because you can only do a run in one area over 3 days and only affect so much. Virginia's a big state. So if we could do a 5K in Roanoke, for instance, or up in Winchester, or some, you know, in the western part of the state, we could get more of the running community involved in understanding that it's important to remember our fallen. But the other thing that I want to encourage is, and this is something that we don't have to do necessarily, but the running community can take on themselves. Sometimes you see people running with flags, right? And people will run with a flag because of whatever cause that they're trying to disseminate. Or it could be that they're just an American, so they run with the American flag. Well, so I challenge people out there that don't mind running with a flag to also consider running with the Honor and Remember flag, because what you're doing is making a very visual statement as to why you're running, right? Because you are running to remember our fallen military. That is the reason why you would be running with an Honor and Remember flag. So I would encourage anybody who doesn't mind the challenge of running with a flag, and who actually is thinking about the fallen, to actually pick up an Honor Remember flag and run with it. And that way, the running community can make that visual statement to everybody around them that they have a purpose in that run. And to me, that's very important. When I see it happen, I've seen flags running during the Marine Corps Marathon, and you see a sea of people and an Honor Remember flag, and without needing to have any understanding, you know why that person is in the midst of that group, right? So those kinds of things, I think, make impactful statements where the running community can be a part of actually running for our those that gave all. When I've always encouraged RWB, for instance, when you run with an American flag, run with the Honor Remember flag. If you run across the country with the American flag, run with your honor member flag, because you're running for your America and the freedoms that we have, but you're also recognizing why we have those freedoms and the names that need to be acknowledged. So this is my cry, my hope, my wish. And you may not know it, but 27 states have made this flag the official legislated state symbol of remembrance. And so it is the official symbol in 27 states, including the state of Virginia. Yeah. And many people don't recognize this, really observe this, because we don't always look up. But the honor member flags that fly at all the rest areas in Virginia, every rest stop has got the flag flying, and every Department of Motor Vehicles has the flag flying on special holidays. So it's already visible and evident in so many places. We could be a part of the community that actually puts that message forward in a way that is visible to so many.
And for runners in the community to keep that at the forefront and present in their minds adds another sort of level and layer to that.
Yeah.
For us to be able to see and for us to be able to interact with. And it's why I appreciate Jake for encouraging me to get this, to help to offer the platform to tell this story of ways that we talk about the Run for the Fallen, the May Memorial Marathon. These are opportunities for runners to support in this endeavor, in this honor and remember space, to help not allow these names to be forgotten, or to help in aid in the grief and healing process that exists around losing family, friends, and all of this stuff. And for us to see these opportunities to gather together, because one of the great things about the running community is that a lot of us aren't content with just running a race, but a lot of us, we run races with purpose. And whether it is, you think someone listening to this is like, okay, I'm running the Shamrock Marathon, but then they look, and I know for folks who heard our message with Jake, you know, you can run the Shamrock Marathon and run as a part of Team RWB. You can run the Shamrock Marathon and run with the honor and remember flag. It continues to harken back to, we as runners have such an opportunity to really build up and bring community to folks. But there's also a lot of these ways in which we can help the community that already exists around us. And it's great that we take something that we do and we connect it with something that is just now wholly embedded as part of George's life in Honor and Remember, and for these opportunities. So if you're listening to this, there's going to be links to Honor and Remember on the site and to just their general list of all the Run for the Fallens and all the states. If you're not in Virginia, find your state or find a state that's located near you, and you can watch or you can find ways to participate. I know a lot of our participation is run through our Team RWB. They do a lot of organization for it, but also they just have a general signup link for folks who want to participate. So if that's something you want to do, help with that, or some of these other ways that George has mentioned. So George, I want to thank you so much for coming on here. Normally I have some end of the podcast questions that are a little bit more runners based, but one thing that I think would be cool is kind of reflecting on a lot of these Run for the Fallens that you've been a part of. I think that folks may kind of think they know the answer of what's the impactful and motivating thing. It might be, you know, hearing the names of those servicemen and women. But what's, you know, one of these years, has one of these years of Run for the Fallen, has it stood out for a certain reason? Or has there been a specific point along one of the runs that maybe something just hits you?
Well, I can tell you a story. When we were first developing the Virginia Run for the Fallen, and we were putting the markers out, because we put the markers out ahead of time, right? Mm-hmm. So we, you know, we're going to stop, right? We had come to one marker that we just couldn't decide where we were going to put it. We were just back and forth, you know, 100 yards this way, a tenth of a mile this way, but we just couldn't decide it. And so finally I decided, okay, we're just going to put it in this person's yard. I'm just going to stop in this little yard out in Gloucester, and we're going to plant it in their yard. And I'm going to go up to the front door and I'm going to just tell them, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to plant this marker in your yard. This is why. I hope you don't mind, kind of thing. So I went up to the front door and I knocked on the door, and it happened to be a Gold Star family that I had stopped at to put a marker in their front yard. Now, I could have decided anywhere to put it. There was houses all along the street, but I decided on this one house. And it happened to be a family that I knew that I hadn't been in contact with for several years. And it was actually the first family I ever presented a flag to. And I ended up in their yard. And I would like to say that it was their son's name that was on that marker to make it even more impactful, but it wasn't. But I did move their son's name to their their front yard. And I will tell you, it was those kind of God moments like that that are just phenomenally impactful. We did one run in Indiana where it was pouring down rain. It was absolute deluge. The runners were running with full-size flags, soaking wet. We had a police escort. We were all in our rain gear and waiting for us on the side of the road at her son's marker was this Gold Star mother holding up an honor remember flag with her son's name on it, standing without an umbrella, without any rain gear, in the drenching, pouring rain, holding a rose, completely inundated with water, waiting for us to get there just so she could hear her son's name spoken for 30 seconds. This is the impact of what we do at Run for the Fallen. It's not just, we're going to run and we're going to call a name out. No, we are doing something that normally people don't do. If you think about all the ways that we're honoring throughout the year, even on Memorial Day itself, I defy you to tell me or show me who's calling out 800 Virginia names anywhere in this state anytime during the year. So we're doing this state after state after state. In Florida, in February, we called out 1,200 names. I mean, in most cases, these names are not even called out loud. And this is something that we feel obligated and hope to become infectious so that no one ever forgets that these men and women, even if we're calling the name out to the atmosphere, we're calling their name out loud at a moment that is not forgotten. And some of these folks that are listening to you now, and you mentioned there might be Virginians, well, maybe they have a buddy or they have relatives in other states. I encourage them to get those relatives or friends involved because we are trying to do this and maybe we don't have a Run for the Fallen in that state. Or maybe you could help us plan one and help us get it going. There's so many different ways to participate. If you just really care about recognizing who's given us those freedoms and the fact that their families are still with us and need to know that they haven't been forgotten.
And I think those are the stories that are not only motivating for someone who is organizing, founding, and directing the organization that puts on these runs, but I think I would also imagine they become stories that motivate folks as they're participating in runs or as they're holding their finger over the sign up for the May Memorial Marathon, or they're considering carrying a flag with them. Stories like that, that really play that part of motivation as people think about, what am I doing in this sort of space?
Thank you so much, George, for such an awesome conversation. I want to thank all you listeners for joining in on this episode. What a great opportunity it was to interview George, to hear the stories of honor and remember, of Run for the Fallen, of all of these different things. I have included links to all of these varying things that George and I talked about in the podcast notes below. So make sure to check those out so you can engage with Honor and Remember, engage with Run for the Fallen, register for the May Memorial Marathon. And if you're here for George, if you're here for this episode, I invite you to go back and listen to some of the other episodes that we have in the feed. I interviewed Jake Jacobs of Team RWB, as well as John Hartzell, both of these guys very involved in this Run for the Fallen and Team Red, White, and Blue. And those are great conversations, but also the other conversations as we all continue to develop this communal spirit of running together. And I'd love to encourage you to support this podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe using your favorite podcasting platform. If you're struggling to find that,
head on over to runbuildgrow.com/listen, and you will see this most recent episode as well as links to all of the different platforms that I think I'm on. I think I have all of them. Take a moment to leave a rating, leave a review. If you're over on Apple Podcasts, they have a space to leave a review for the podcast itself. If you're on Spotify, they have the ability for you to just leave a little note about how much you enjoyed that episode, as well as to rate the podcast. And so if you do one of those two things, I will give you a shout out on the podcast. I'd also like to call you to help to support financially as I continue to grow this space, as I continue to grow the Run and Rev Run Club as a place where we can gather together. You can head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev and help to support. You can either leave a tip if you really just love this episode and you love what George is all about and you want to leave a tip to help make sure that I can bring on more guests like George. Go ahead and you can leave a one-time donation. If you want to be a member and offer a monthly donation, I would love that as well. We have our first tip coming through, and we have Rainey Nikloski, who was our guest on last week's podcast. I love that she supported and helped out in this way as I continue to grow this network. And so thank you so much for heading over there and for helping to support this podcast. And so as we leave this space today, continue to connect and continue to bring that communal spirit of running together. Make every mile count.